Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The 457th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Bet365. Bet365 is offering new users a $1,000 risk-free bet. Sign up today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/bet365. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Huddy ho, degenerate knows. Welcome to episode 457 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This goes out to all my American friends, my American listeners, my American co-hosts, because this is your Thanksgiving. A month or so late, but still, it's your Thanksgiving. So hope you enjoy your 25 days off to celebrate the exciting occasion of Thanksgiving. We're going to celebrate. No days off for us. No, we're a couple of no days off kind of guys. We are covering the PFL for you. UFC may take a week off, but not us. We've got a big year-end PFL. They're all the same. It's all one family now. This is PFL. They're doing the world championships. Yesterday, we covered one of the championship fights and the rest of the prelims, the championship fight that's on the prelims. Today, we're going to cover the seven-fight main card. So we got lots to get into. We've got to jump right into it. We'll bring in my American counterpart who will be celebrating Thanksgiving probably while you're listening to this. Is Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah. Hopefully you're listening to this on the way to eat something good or watch some football or whatever, whatnot, see some family. So thank you guys for listening along to me. I will probably be posting the YouTube video of this so early in the morning so that I can then do those exact same things. So I hope you're enjoying this at whatever time you are listening to it. And if you are listening to us on our YouTube, just go ahead and do me the favor. And like, there's a button like right here somewhere. It says subscribe. Just click that. You can even turn the notifications off. I'm not even asking you to get notified every time we do one of these, but when you click the subscribe button, makes the bosses happy and, lets us know that you enjoy what we do. And it makes, things go smoother. So, click that. Make sure that you are subscribed to us. Leave us a little comment below if you'd like. That's always fun too. Get Jong in the comments often, but we don't get too many other people. Although somebody recently commented, did you see the last comment? It said how about our picks are always good, but if they disagree, go with Gumby.
Yes, I did see that. That's because you sound like you know what you're talking about.
It's a great comment.
It's great. Notice that person has not gotten a shout out by me on this podcast.
So. I'm shouting him out right now. Shout out, guy.
Shout out, guy. You're saying you'll be thankful if people like and subscribe and comment on the YouTube. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there you go. I'm not gonna say smash that subscribe button, bro, or anything like
smash
that.
Smash it.
Yeah, I hate those guys. You should. You know, but just subscribe. It makes it easier for us. So thank you. Thank you for all that I already have.
Thank you for coming to the podcast as well. As the host of another podcast likes to say, he's still wearing his K hat. I'm still wearing my SGPN hat. We should stop joking. We should stop playing around here, right? We got a lot of fights break down. Even though you say a couple, we can just skim it.
Two of them. I plan on basically skipping. Correct.
All right. So we seven fights. It is pay-per-view. So do people pay for PFL?
Not $50. That's for sure.
No, exactly. So PFL should be thankful for whoever puts their hard-earned money down on this fight. A decent fight poster, though. A cartoon poster. It looks pretty cool. All right, we're going to jump into it right away. I keep saying we're going to, and now we're actually going to. We're going to start with a feature fight at middleweight. A couple of names you're probably familiar with. Ray Cooper III from the United States of America versus Derek Brunson, also from the United States of America. I'll tell you about Brunson first. His nickname is The One. When did that happen? Did I just forget that?
His nickname is The One?
That's what PFL said. That's what PFL. That's what the topology says.
That ain't right.
That ain't right. Apparently, it's The One. He's 23-9, 12 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out 7 times. This is his PFL debut after going 14-7 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight fights via knockout or TKO. He's not won a fight since September 2021. 3-0 in Strikeforce. Strikeforce never die. 2010 pro MMA debut. Two-time All-American wrestling in college. 6 inches taller than Cooper. 7 inches of reach. Because he normally, and actually, yes, he always fights at middleweight. Excuse me. It's Cooper who's changing weight classes. And Brunson plus 165, despite that resume. Brada boy is Cooper's nickname, much better than Brunson's. 25-8-1. 16 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 4 times. 12-3-1 in PFL. He's won the championship twice in the PFL. Not this year, unfortunately for him. Was a regional champion, 7-1 over his last 8, including winning his last fight via TKO. Has missed weight a couple times in the past. Used to fight at lightweight and used to fight at welterweight. So we have a former lightweight going up to middleweight here. 2012 was his pro MMA debut. 9 years younger than Brunson, minus 200. So no respect for the UFC veteran coming in here.
Yeah, you might be surprised to hear this too, but I'm going Derek Brunson all day here. I think part of the problem here is people have got Derek Brunson mentally as washed. Remember we were talking about Jessica Andrade a few weeks ago, and you're like, I don't think she's as washed as people think she is. She just ran into tough people, right? Like she ran into Tatiana Suarez and Yan Xiaonan and Aaron Blanchfield. And like we wrote her off as being washed. I'm sure she wasn't. I think it could be the similar thing here with Derek Brunson. We're talking about him on a 2-fight losing streak, and he is on a 2-fight losing streak to Jared Cannonier and Dricus Duplessis, like a guy who has a win over the champ and a guy who probably shortly will have a win over the champ. Like it is two of the tougher middleweights in the world, and it's two of the tougher types of matchups for him, because when you think about what's really tough for Derek Brunson, like big bruisers at middleweight were really tough for him to deal with, right? Like big freaking strong guys were tough for him to deal with because, as you mentioned, Derek Brunson's kind of like sneaky game that he slowly became very good at was he out wrestled people. We saw it in the Darren Till fight. We saw it in a lot of fights. Like he came up and made noise as a guy who was trying to knock your head off. And then he was like, oh, wait, hang on. I have this skill. I'm a really good wrestler. And when I use that really good wrestling, I can set up more of my hands. I can drop gnarly grounded pound. Like there's so many things to like about what Derek Brunson can do when he mixes things together. And then he ran into a couple of guys he couldn't just mix it up with. So Ray Cooper being so much smaller than him, I think is a huge advantage here for multiple reasons. Number one, I think he can get the takedown. He could be the weight bully here. And number two, Ray Cooper is a big power puncher. That's always been what he is. So maybe it's alarming because Derek Brunson's been knocked out a couple of times, although most of that's ground and pound too, from my memory. But like, Ray Cooper is a big puncher. Is he going to be able to reach Derek Brunson? Because it's not like Derek Brunson is one of those guys who has been used to being taller than everybody. So like, you know, doesn't always have to use his reach to his advantage. He's a guy who's usually like the shorter or equal height guy in middleweight. So now he's got a huge advantage. So anything he's doing to keep distance is going to work twofold. So yeah, I like Derek Brunson, and I especially like that we're getting dog money on him.
Yes, I just casually, I think this is a good pick as well without doing all the research that Gumby does. So yeah, it seems like a very good matchup for Brunson. He's going to be way bigger and a guy that he should be all out wrestle. So let's get that plus money. All right, let's get some plus money here too. This would be featherweights, women's featherweights. It exists outside of the UFC.
We're not getting plus money here.
you could. 3 5-minute rounds. Kayla Harrison from the United States of America versus Aspen Ladd, also from the United States of America. Ladd is 11-4, 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's been knocked out once. 2-1 in PFL. She's taking this fight on short notice. It's supposed to be my fellow Canadian Julia Budd. And then she pulled out and got herself fired. Did you hear why she pulled out or any news on that or not?
I don't know, but I'm betting now that they have merged with Bellator, I bet she's got a little bit of buyer's remorse there.
Exactly.
She made PFL mad because there aren't a lot of choices for her anymore outside of Invicta.
Yep, it is true. All right, she's on win-loss-win over the last 3. She did win her last fight via submission, so Ladd has looked really good recently, right, Gumby? Obviously,
yeah, 2-1. She's looked really, truly good.
The sarcasm is dripping on my voice and Gumby's voice here. Used to fight at bantamweight technically and flyweight technically, but she never would make weight for those fights. 4-3 in the UFC, as I mentioned. Weight was she? I think she only officially missed weight once, but like, how many fights did she pull out of?
Because she pulled out of, yeah.
A lot. 5 years younger than Harrison, plus 500. So if she misses weight for featherweight, then we got a problem here. I think we got a problem anyhow. But Harrison, 15-1, 6 knockouts, 6 submissions. She's been knocked, never been finished in a fight. 14-1 in PFL, 2-time champion. Lost her last fight. Used to fight at lightweight. 1-0 Invicta. 2 times judo Olympic gold medalist, 2-inch taller than Ladd, minus 750. Tell us why Aspen Ladd is the pick here, Gumby.
She's not. I'm glad you're trying to spoon feed me Aspen Ladd. This is one of the ones I said we don't need to talk about. Aspen Ladd has been quitting in fights that she's in, right? Like, she just doesn't seem to want to push forward against any adversity. And you're right, she's won some fights that seemingly she hasn't had very much adversity in, but the minute she's in a bad position, she seems to quit. She also doesn't seem to have any, she doesn't seem to push forward anymore. You know what I mean? Like, when she was at her best, and don't get me wrong, I was one of the people beating the drum for like saying like Aspen Ladd could be a future UFC champion. And like, when she was pushing forward and like pushing the action, she's dangerous. She's very good. She's the type of person, if you told me 3 or 4 years ago would be fighting Kayla Harrison, I'd have been like, she'll give Harrison some problems because she'll stuff enough takedowns and she'll bring the action to her, right? Like, she'll do what Larissa Pacheco did do to Kayla Harrison. She's just not that fighter anymore. She evolved into something different. It's upsetting, but like, yeah, you got to go with Kayla Harrison here. I told you on yesterday's episode, a big, you know, honking -300 or -700 favorite not to put in parlays. This is one that's fine if you do. If you want a little extra value, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world here.
What has she evolved into, Dan? You set yourself up there. I'm going to have to ask you. What did
I mean? She's evolved into a fighter who will win the fight she's supposed to win, but she will not fight through adversity in the fights that are going to be hotly contested.
Yep. There you go. All right. Something's not hotly contested. Bet365. Everyone agrees Bet365 is the place to go. We are brought to you by them. Bet365 is the world's favorite sports book, trusted by over 88 million players worldwide. Props, sides, totals, live betting, Bet365 has you covered. And if you like boosts, you're going to love Bet365, like a 30% profit boost on your NFL same game parlay. Plus, they even have an early payout offer if your team goes up 17 points. Sign up today and choose from 2 bonus offers, either a $1,000 no sweat bet or bet $5, get 150 in bonus bets. Just head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/bet365. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/bet365, or use the sign up link in our show's bio. Get in there and click. Gumby, do you have a play? Thanksgiving play, perhaps?
No, I'll say we'll stick with PFL. We haven't talked about totals very much on here, but on the prelims, we talked about Jesus Pinedo versus Gabriel Braga in the championship fight for the prelims. I mentioned I think that one's going to end by knockout. You can go listen to it to see who I picked, but you can get the under 4.5 at only -130. So you'd even save yourself against if that person doesn't get the knockout and the other one does, you'll save it right there. So the total on that one, under 4.5, -130.
All right. Thank you, Yanni, for that underpick. Problem gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. Let's move on, shall we? From the name calling. All right. Another tournament fight for the light heavyweight championship. 5 5-minute rounds. Actually, not another. This is the first one on this card that's for a championship. This is Impa Kasanganang versus Josh Silveira. U.S. versus U.S. Again, Silveira. Koniha is the nickname. Easy one, Gumby. Tell the people what that means.
Koniha?
Koniha. C-O-N-I-N-H-A.
Tiny rabbit?
No, is it not Little Conan? Because is his dad?
Oh, it's probably Silvera? Little Conan. Yeah, I keep forgetting his dad is Conan Silvera because he doesn't look anything like him.
No, he doesn't really. He's got like a mullet in his picture on Tapology. Yeah. All right.
And Conan is huge, man.
Yeah, he is a big man, a big bearded man. Silvera, 12-1, 5 knockouts, 6 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 5-1 in PFL. He's won 3 straight, all via finish. Was the LFA champion before this. Used to fight at middleweight. 2 inches taller than Kasanganang, plus 160. No respect on the family name. Kasanganang Chishilobo. I haven't said that for a while, and I said it.
Chishilobo.
And I said it wrong. Chishilobo. What it, have we talked about what it means?
It should means like God, God's warrior, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Well, no wonder he's in the minus on the boards, obviously. 14-3, three knockouts, four submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 4-0 in PFL. Three of those four wins have come via finish. Has missed weight before. 2-2 in the UFC. 2-0 in the Contender Series. Used to fight at welterweight and middleweight. 2 years younger than Silvera, minus 190. Tell us why Silvera's the pick.
No, I'm going Impa.
No.
And I do really like Josh Silvera. Like, I contemplated the dog money on here, and actually I will say that as a statement here, because you know I like to tell you who I'm picking, but also whether or not I find any value here. I don't like this line on Impa Kasangane. I thought when I saw this fight booked that we were going to see, like, you know, negative 130 to plus 110 or something like that. So to see him as a 2-1 favorite was kind of shocking to me when I opened up the odds. And I don't think that that's a really good idea with Impa Kasangane, because Silvera is good in a lot of different places. Like, I really do like him when he's on the ground. His mat skills are super good, both in the way that he controls people and how he sets things up. Like, he almost like lets people move a little bit in order to sink in something else. Like, he lets them spin so he can take the back. He lets them think they're getting up so he can push them back down and make side control. Like, he does like little smart things that allow him to advance positions. But the problem is I think Impa just hits too hard. And also, we sort of sleep on how good of a wrestler Impa Kasangane is, because he is super strong. Granted, I like him way better at middleweight, but hey, whatever. It seems to be working for him at light heavyweight in the PFL. But like, when he fought, was it Sasha Palatnikov in the UFC? Like, he was like, I'm just an amazing wrestler now. And he took him down and rear naked choked him. And we've seen it a little bit since he's left the UFC, but I think that strength and that ability is enough to keep his feet against Josh Silvera. And I think he's sharper on the feet. So as long as he keeps this one standing, the longer he's standing, the better it will be for Impa. So I'm going to go favorite here, Impa Kasangane.
All right, boom. Impa is the pick. We're moving right along here, aren't we? Let's find out who else is going to win $1 million come Friday night. This is for the welterweight championship, 5 5-minute rounds. The Russian Magomed Karamov versus the Swedish is coming up. Just wait. The Swede, Sadabu Sai. I will tell you about Mr. Sai first. He is the Swedish Denzel Washington. Obviously, just look at him. So obvious. He's 16-6-2 with one no contest. He's knocked out 8 people. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 10-4-2 with one no contest in the PFL. And he is the defending champion. Am I right there? I think so. Yep. 7-0 over his last 7, 8-1 over his last 9. He has not lost a fight since August 2021. Used to fight at middleweight, 2013 pro MMA debut. Twitch is height 7 inches of reach over Magomed Karamov, and he's plus 140 despite all of that. Magomed Karamov is 34-6, 13 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted 3 times. 15-1 in the PFL. He was a 2018 champion. He's won 5 straight in 18 of his last 19. He has not lost since October of 2021. 1-0 on the World Series of Fighting, so he's been around this promotion for a while. Used to fight at middleweight as well. 2008 pro MMA debut, and he's basically world champion in everything. Pancration world champion, an army hand-to-hand combat champion, a Thai boxing champion, a Kudo EP champion. Do you know what that means? You know what Kudo app is?
Is Kudo the... No, maybe I'm wrong. Is Kudo the Chinese... No, that's... Yeah, Kudo. Isn't it a Chinese hand-to-hand karate?
I'm looking it up because I forgot to look it up. Yeah, Kudo and Judo. I think they are similar. Perhaps it is.
Then that wasn't karate. That wasn't Chinese karate, which is my answer.
It is a Japanese hybrid martial art. It's a full contact combat sport that aims to achieve safety, aggression, and practicality.
Oh, so Japanese, not Chinese. But like, sort of what I was thinking.
Yep. It includes restraints, locks, and chokeholds.
So not karate.
Stand up striking, throwing, and grappling. This sounds like MMA to me. Anyhow, he's a champion there. He's, like I said, he's a champion in everything. This Russian man is. He's 4 years younger than Sai, minus 170.
So why do you think Sai is an underdog here?
Wrestling?
I'm going to give you a hint. It's the same reason we talked about on the last episode about somebody being surprisingly an underdog.
Because they fought before and Magomed Karamov beat him.
Bingo. It's
there we go.
Satabu size last loss is Magomed Karamov. But with that being said, I am actually going to take the dog money on Satabu Sai here. Half because of I like the number, and half also because I think he's developed since they fought in 2021. Satabu Sai, if you watch his fight with Rory McDonald, which was only, I think, two or three fights after the fight with Magomed Karamov, he already had showed that he had gotten a lot better when it came to takedowns and staying on his feet and winning fights there. And since then, he's just proven that more and more. Like, he fought Carlos Leal twice and looked like he was good in those areas. He also looks like he's more dangerous on the feet now. He's finished a couple of people with some pretty brutal strikes. That spinning wheel kick that he finished. Like, he just looks more dangerous. And if he snuffs enough of Magomed Karamov's takedowns here, or at least just keeps getting back up, I think he's going to be more polished on the feet. So yeah, I'm going to go with Sai to repeat here, especially because, like I said, I think it's 50% that I really like the fighter, and 50% that I really like the value here on a returning champion who's been undefeated for 2+ years to retain his title, or to win it again, rather.
That doesn't leave any room for a percent of because he's hot, you're picking him.
Is Denzel what? Yeah, I guess, man, maybe. I was just going to ask, is Denzel Washington hot? But I don't.
Denzel Washington hot. How silly of you.
I don't know the answer.
Ask your wife.
Yeah, I'll ask my wife after this. I'll report back in the wife. Discord. Get in the Discord, and I'll tell you if my wife thinks Denzel Washington
he will
hot.
Let you know.
Yeah, you have to hit the subscribe button, and then yes. I can tell you.
Yes, and she'll tell you if Denzel Washington is hot and how hot I am on a scale of 1 to 10 as well.
Okay, got it.
Because she watches every episode for sure. All right. One place that does get 10 out of 10 in our books is Underdog Fantasy as well. I got to do awkward transitions so Gumby can get the graphic up on the screen in time for YouTube. It's not because I suck at doing this after 400 and plus episodes. All right, Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, and college football. They don't say MMA, but MMA is there. Look at your screens if you're watching YouTube. There's some MMA picks right in front of your eyeballs there. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite player's fantasy stats and cash in, such as Gumby.
Oh, you know, I'll give you one for the very awkward Friday football game we got this week. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Amazon Prime.
Okay.
But Amazon Prime is, I think, trying to double dip with Black Friday, trying to get you to be home. And so then you shop online. It's kind of actually pretty clever. But I'll take the higher than on Tua Tagliavola's I'm never going to say that dude's name right. Higher on Tua's passing yards. I think I saw he was 248 and a half. He should get 250 easy.
He's a quarterback. He plays for the Miami Dolphins.
Are you Googling this in real time?
No. I just talk like a robot sometimes. That's why I have trouble when they ask me if I'm a robot online. I always have to yell, ask someone in my house, am I a robot or not? Okay. Watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. N, not M, SGPN. He played for Alabama also, I believe. Am I right?
Yes, he did.
Boo, boo, boo. Look at me go.
On a team with three NFL quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts and Mac Jones. All three of them made the NFL from that team.
I was going to ask you who's in the Grey Cup, but I think the Grey Cup just happened last weekend already.
Montreal won.
Oh, did they? Okay, there you go. I like Montreal. Yes, they beat the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, one of the 10 Blue Bomber teams in the CFL, 28-24. Yeah, usually they used to take a week off, but not anymore. All right, Hall of Fame bets. I have to tell you about the good folks there before we truck on here. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, MLB, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea in a Hall of Fame Bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool. Get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame bets.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Okie dokie. Shall we move on? The one... Actually, no, we already spoke of a women's fight here. But now we're going to tell you about the tournament championship women's fight. This one is at featherweight. Five-minute rounds. Larissa Pacheco from Brazil versus Marina Makhnatina from Russia. See if Gumby remembers things. I teach him. Who is her husband, Makhnatina's husband?
Oh.
You don't remember. Damn you.
Is it Volkan Ozdemir?
Nope. It's someone who's she's married to a polar bear. That's my hint.
Oh, Sergey Spivak.
Yes, Sergey Spivak. Correct. All right. Let's tell you about her first. She's not Mrs. Spivak, but Ms. Makhnatina is 11-3, one knockout, six submissions, never been finished in a fight. 6-1 in the PFL, 5-0 over her last five. Won her last fight via submission. Used to fight at lightweight, 1-1 to Bellator, multiple time Sambo world champion. I mean, like, 50 million times. If you check her Wikipedia page, it's just nonstop championships for her in Sambo, and she's at plus 500. Pacheco, 22-4, 11 knockouts, 8 submissions. She's been knocked out once, submitted once. 11-2 in PFL and is a reigning champion. Won 9 straight fights, the last 2 via TKO. It's not lost since December of 2019. He's fight at lightweight and down at bantamweight. 0-2 in the UFC, 0-1 in tough. Multiple region championships on her
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 2012 pro MMA debut. 6 years younger than Makhnatina. 4 inches reach on her. Minus 750. Is this the other fight you're just going to skip right over?
Yeah. Pick Pacheco. I don't know what you want me to say. She's fighting a woman who has largely needed to just like get people down and dominate them on the ground, to submit them. And she's fighting a person who Kayla Harrison couldn't get down. And beat the hell out of Kayla Harrison twice on the feet. So like, unless somehow you think Makhnatina's takedowns have gotten better since she was manhandled by Kayla Harrison, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's just not, she's really good on the ground for the average women's featherweight, and she's not good enough to Jake Pacheco down. The hands comparison is non-existent. It is just so one-sided on here. Pacheco is just going to murder her on the feet. So, yeah, give me Larissa Pacheco.
It's interesting you just breeze over the two women's fights, Dan.
Well, you know, if they want to make any competitive women's fights, I will give you a breakdown for them. With both of them are negative 700 favorites. Like, that, there's a reason for that.
What's that? You only care about their only fans? Is that what you just said?
No, that's our Discord. You can meet plenty of people. Turnip will let you know all about it.
It's true. So we don't have to sacrifice ourselves.
He does the work, so we don't have to.
Yes, exactly. All right. Co-main event time. This is for back to the men's side. So Gumby, you'll have a detailed breakdown. You look, watch. 5 5-minute rounds. Heavyweight. Oh, of course. Heavyweight, you'll have a breakdown. Henan Ferreira from Brazil versus Denis Golstov from Russia. It's a big Russia versus Brazil event going down here. Ferreira Problema is the nickname. 11-3, 9 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 5-1 PFL. He's won 2 straight, both via TKO. 2013 pro MMA debut. Based on their last weigh-ins for their last fights, 17 pounds heavier than Golstov. 3 inches of height, 7 inches of reach on him, plus 205. Golstov, the Russian Bogatyr. Have we talked about that before?
It's a boogeyman, right?
Yeah. He's a Russian version. 32-7, 15 knockouts, 11 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 3 times. 10-2 in the PFL. He's won 5 straight fights, 3 straight via finish. Has not lost since August of 2021. Multiple region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. No, Bogatyr is a knight. You got that wrong, by the way.
Oh. Well, then why did you tell me I was right?
Because I thought you were right. Because I don't like showing you up, but I have to. I can't have someone in the comments saying, actually, you're wrong. So he's a knight. Edit that out. 2010 Pro MMA debut, minus 250. Am I missing? Did these two fight? And I forgot.
No, you're fine. Okay. I'm out. All right. No, Goltsov almost never fights. He like kept pulling out of fights for like years on end.
Well, look where it's gotten him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like he fought, let's see. He fought Maurice Greene in 2022, and then he had six consecutive fights canceled for various reasons. Some him, some somebody else. But he gets fights canceled all the time. I'm going to go dog here. I like Henan Ferreira here. For a couple of reasons, I used to really like Goltsov. I used to think he was like the future of heavyweight. And now I've seen him and it mostly just seems like he's beating up guys who aren't that good. Like he beat, you know, no offense to Jordan Heiderman, but Jordan Heiderman was like a guy who lost on the Ultimate Fighter. And that wound up being his semifinals fight here. He beat Jorgen De Castro, who I think has got great knockout power, but just like, you know, he's a kickboxer and a big guy at heavyweight. He's just like not the type of complete martial artist who's going to give Denis Goltsov some trouble. He beat Maurice Greene, who, you know, like we've seen has got some gaps in his game as well. And he beat Cesar Fajeda, who used to be a middleweight. You know, like this is not a murderer's row of opponents he's beaten. And if you go back, you know, you want to go back to when he fought some of the better guys, when he fought like, he fought Ali Isiev, who's really darn good. He fought Ante Dalia. Both those guys beat him, and Isiev knocked him out. And that, for me, you know, you mentioned he's got three knockout losses on his record. That worries me against Fajeda, because first of all, Fajeda, knockout power, you know, tons of knockouts on his record. And second of all, I don't think Goltsov is used to fighting somebody as big as he is. You know, Goltsov is 6'5". He likes to be on the inside. You know, his inside boxing works really well, but also, like, you know, his clinch work works really well. Fajeda, two things. First of all, you don't want to be too close to him, because if you wind up grappling with him, his jiu-jitsu is pretty sick. He worked pretty well on top of Fabricio Werdum, although he did do the invisible Brazilian tap in that fight. But, like, also, he uses his range well on the feet. So, it's like it's going to be harder for Goltsov to get on the inside. He's clearly got crazy knockout power. And Goltsov's chin has been touched. Now, granted, not in the last few fights. But, you know, Jordan Heiderman's not there knocking very many people out with, like, one-touch power. You know, he's more like a volume ground-and-pound guy. Jorgen De Castro is, but he's, like, 5'11". So, like, he's not fought a dude who's, you know, what is Fajeda? Like, 6'6"? He's not fought a 6'6 dude with crazy knockout power. So I like Fajeda here.
You just described me there, Gumby.
6'6 with knockout power?
6'6 with crazy knockout power, not just knockout power. Crazy knockout power. All right. Main event time, ladies and gentlemen, for the lightweight tournament championship and $1 million. We got Clay Collard from the United States versus Olivier Aubin-Mercier from Canada. He's going to have the advantage because he's already had Thanksgiving months ago. So he's not having to sacrifice whatsoever. Right?
That's correct.
Easy weight cut. Easy weight cut. All right. We'll break it down. I'll give you more info than just that. Even though you can take that to the bank. All right. Clay Collard. Cassius Clay Collard. I wonder if the gentleman we talked about on the prelims knows about Clay Collard's nickname. You think? He's stealing his grandpa's name.
Probably heard it before. Yeah.
You'd think. All right. Cassius Clay Collard is 24-10 with 1 no contest, 11 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted 3 times, 6-2 in the PFL. He's won 3 straight fights and 4 of 5. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Used to fight at featherweight and up at welterweight, 1-3 in the UFC. 2011 Pro MMA debut, 9-6-3 as a pro boxer, 4 years younger than Aubin-Mercier, 2 inches taller, 4 inches of reach on him, plus 220. Aubin-Mercier, despite being the older man here, he's always going to be the Quebec kid. Also the Canadian gangster, also the Canadian tuxedo. 20-5, 20-5.
That's just denim, you like this?
Yeah. Yes, that's just a full denim outfit. You have to have the jacket and the pants and everything. Yes. 20-5 is his record. 4 knockouts, 8 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 9-0 in the PFL and the reigning champion of the world. Things have gone pretty good for him since he left the UFC. He's won two straight fights via knockout or TKO. He did not have that when he was in the UFC. He was not finishing people. Probably why they didn't mind him leaving. Has not lost a fight since July of 2019. 7-5 in the UFC. 2-0 in the Ultimate Fighter. Used to fight at welterweight. 2011 pro MMA debut. Minus 280. Is Aubin Mercier getting another $1 million?
Yeah,
which he is. In Canadian is 1.3 something nice. Million dollars.
He's yeah. making out like a bandit on this exchange rate. Yeah, I got to go Olivier Aubin Mercier. I think the reason why, I mean, college boxing, you got to give it to him, right? Like, it is looks so damn good, both in his ability to maintain volume. Like, I'm really impressed that he doesn't tire with like what he puts out there sometimes. Doesn't tire, doesn't slow, doesn't seem like he has any less knockout power towards the end of these fights. I'm really impressed by that. I'm also really impressed by his accuracy. You know, in his last fight, it seemed like he couldn't miss towards the end of that fight. So I'm always high on the boxing of Clay Collard, but Olivier Aubin Mercier just has the great equalizer, which is absolutely positively suffocating wrestling. His wrestling held up throughout his UFC career. It's held up even better in his PFL career. I think I picked against him a couple of times, just being like, he can't get, you know, Shane Burgos down or something like that. And what did he do? I mean, he mauled Shane Burgos. You know, he put Shane Burgos down and then beat the crap out of him. So I think he's going to do the same to Clay Collard here. You know, Clay Collard might have some early success. You know, if you want to play the puncher's chance, like play the puncher's chance. Olivier Aubin Mercier is going to get takedowns. He's going to have top control. And he's probably going to finish Clay Collard with some submission or something like that.
Can you give him a little bit of respect and say his name properly at least once on the podcast?
Oh, Mercier.
Mercier, thank you.
Olivier Aubin Mercier. Olivier.
Olivier, yeah, so American. Come on, you're worldly. All right. Let's recap, shall we? And then we'll let you people watch football and what else you guys do on Thanksgiving. Eat things that you've killed, right?
Nothing I personally have killed, but yeah, no, you got it.
Yeah, shoot things. Do you shoot things? Do you do? No, you don't do fireworks or anything like that, right?
No, not on Thanksgiving.
No, I just wondered. Just wondered. All right, let's recap. Olivier Aubin Mercier is one of his picks. Then we got for Fihea. We got Pacheco, we got Sai, we got Kasanganay, we got Harrison, we got Brunson. You're fading the Russians, Gumby.
Did I go 0-3 on Russians? 0-2 on Russians, right? Isn't Goltsov from
no, one he's of Russian. The... He's a Russian Bogatyr, for crying out loud.
Oh, right. Yeah. Why did I think he was from like Estonia or something like that? I thought he was like
Are you making a political statement, Gumby? Do you want to make a political statement here?
I don't. Let's end the episode.
You sure about that? All right. Fine. He wants to end it all of a sudden. All right. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Thank you for listening. And if you're elsewhere in the world, we do have listeners all over the world. USA mostly, but we people are all over the globe. Australia, that's one of our big places. So happy Sunday. Or actually, probably Monday by the time you hear this, because you guys are a day ahead of us. But thanks for listening. We'll be back on... When are we coming back?
Sunday.
Come back on Sunday. What are we going to cover on Sunday? Sunday and Monday. It's up so in the air.
I'm looking at a couple of different regional promotions, and you could shout us out in the Discord if you have a preference here. I think we're leaning towards doing one show on Lux Fight League. And then there's a Fury the following Sunday, which we might break down. It doesn't look particularly packed with superstars, but there's usually odds available for Fury, so we might do Fury. I've also thrown around the idea of putting a Brave in there, because Brave has actually got some really nice events coming up that they're going to run all right in a row. So maybe Brave, maybe Lux, maybe Fury. So if you've got preferences, let us know.
Let's call it a cliffhanger, everyone. You got to tune in and find out. That'll be Sunday. In the meantime, Discord, as Gumby said, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord, Twitter, SGP and MMA, Jeff Fox Writer, Gumby Vreeland are the handles. I'm Jeff Fox Writer on Instagram. I got a Substack you can subscribe to, get my MMA writings, stats, stuff I break down, and obviously my free pick'em contest every week for the UFC. That would be moneymma.substack.com, the lovely logo that Gumby made for me. And listen to Gumby's other podcast, Top Turtle MMA Podcast. Why should they listen, Gumby?
Because we've got a breakdown of some Dutch MMA. We'll be talking to Dan Deuce and Orlando Prince, who are both fighting at Cage Warriors 164.
There you go. And if you want to know who to pick on Cage Warriors this coming weekend, go back two episodes from now. Gumby has got all your picks there. What else? Oh, the Mothership, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, and the Patreon, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. Okay, Gumby, you can say bye to us. Bye to the people. Go ahead.
I'm Data Gumby Freeland. He's the Canadian Tuxedo Jeff Fox. Yep. And we will see you on Sunday.